Well, good morning once again. Thank you for being here. I don't know how I'm going to top Kids Connection, but as I tell my kids all the time, it's not a competition, okay? Like, my kids are always competing, right? Merry Christmas. It's the week of Christmas, right? Can you believe it? 1 week until Christmas. It's almost here. Christmas is a time of anticipation, is it not? Right? You can maybe try to avoid Christmas, but you probably would not succeed, right? Christmas comes upon us. The city puts out lights. They light up Victoria Park. Christmas is here. You walk around your neighborhoods. Your neighbors put up lights. They put up these inflatables. Have you seen? These inflatables took off this year, didn't they? I don't know if they're just cheaper this year or what. Everybody's got one of these huge inflatables on their lawn to celebrate Christmas, right? Tree stores pop up in parking lots, and every single store has Christmas deals on because you can buy your presents there and spend your money there. Christmas is a time of anticipation. It's coming, and everybody's waiting for it. We prepare for it. We buy those Advent calendars, right, with even disgusting little waxy chocolates, but every day we open it because we count down the days of December until Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Eve is the absolute worst, right? Remember as a kid, you could barely get to sleep. The excitement, the anticipation of the next morning, the presents, the food, the fun, everything of Christmas morning was so exciting that we just can't wait for it. Waiting can be hard, can't it? But not just for kids at Christmas time, okay? Anticipation and waiting are a part of life. The anticipation part, we can enjoy, right? There's something coming. We're anticipating it. It builds excitement. But the waiting, sometimes the waiting's another story. We might not like the waiting, but we all must wait. Let me start off this morning with a question for you, a personal question I want you to think about in your minds and in your hearts. What is it in your life that you are waiting for? I'm serious. Take a little minute, right? This isn't necessarily rhetorical. Think about it. What in your life are you waiting for? What you are waiting for will reveal to you your heart's longing, the things you're putting hope and trust in. So think about that. What are you waiting for? What are you hoping for? What are you anticipating? You see, Christmas is a wonderful time of year, right? It's a day, and we extend it into a season of Christmas. It can be filled with hope and joy and contentment and peace for so many people. There's no doubt about that. But Christmas comes and it goes, and what people are looking for is hope, joy, fulfillment, peace that lasts. Right? Christmas Day is over real fast. Maybe your holidays extend through Boxing Day, but then you're waiting again. 364 more days until Christmas. Imagine that Advent calendar, right? What are you waiting for? It's a good question to ask yourselves. It's a better question is, why am I waiting for that thing? What is it that I'm waiting for, and why am I waiting for it? What do I hope will change when it comes? Because some things are worth waiting for, right? They do bring change. Everybody waits for the weekend. You get 2 days off work, but you know what? Monday comes. Everybody maybe waits for that special vacation you've been saving up for months, years, and you finally get to go, and it's great for a week, maybe two. But then you come back to the real world. Everybody is looking for hope and joy and contentment and fulfillment and peace. And you know, we get glimpses of it in the weekends, in the vacations, even every day here and there, we get glimpses of it. But what we want is we want something that will last, something's not so fleeting. Can I tell you that that is actually what Christmas is all about? Christmas is about a hope that will always last, because Christmas is a lot more than just the presents and the lights. It's a lot more than the stockings and the hype and the countless inflatables on your lawn. Christmas is so much more than that. Christmas is about Emmanuel. Christmas is about God with us, God in a manger. And our whole sermon series all month long, we've been talking about peace. The tagline for all the messages have been the same, that peace for tomorrow begins by embracing a peace of God today. For Christ followers, Christmas is a wonderful season to celebrate the birth of Christ. It's not that for everybody, but for Christ followers, for those of us who have dedicated our lives, devoted our lives to following Jesus Christ, this is what Christmas is all about. And it is a great day. It is a great season. But it's so much more than that. It's so much more than a holiday. It's a reminder to us of Emmanuel, God with us. Because Christmas as a season will come and go. But Christ as a person is with us always, every day of the year. And here's the truth. If you fail to grab that piece of Christmas, you'll find it hard to hold on to the peace of God throughout the year. This morning, we're going to talk about a man in the Bible who lived his life full of anticipation. His days were filled with waiting, waiting, waiting. He waited years for the fulfillment of one single promise. And what he waited for was the arrival of the Messiah. You see, what his heart most longed for, what he was waiting for, was the Messiah, a rescuer for his life and for Israel, for the entire world. So let's meet this guy named Simeon. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. If you have your Bible on your phone, fire them up. All right, and if you need, we have the verses on the screen behind me, so you can follow along that way. But let me just back up a little bit and give you a little bit of a piece. This is the story everybody knows, okay? You've heard this. Jesus has been born, okay, in Bethlehem. He was born to a young couple, Mary and Joseph, okay, but he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. There's been a lot of amazing things, scandalous things over the last 9 months. A lot of people knew about this supposed virgin birth, this rumor that was going around that there was this young woman with child. Some people knew about it, but usually it was only talked about probably in gossip circles, in hushed tones, because it wasn't met with a lot of, oh, wow, that's wonderful. It was met with, oh, yeah, she's crazy. But this was the reality. Mary and Joseph were poor. They were young. They lived in a small town where people thought there's nothing newsworthy that ever comes out of Nazareth. Nothing good ever comes from that place. As the time for the baby to be born draws near, a census is called. Well, that's bad timing because they got to go to their ancestral home, Bethlehem, and register. But the baby's coming. But they load up on a donkey, head to Bethlehem, right? But they get there late. There's no room in any inn that still has space available, right? He missed his TripAdvisor, Expedia.ca booking, right? Ends up in a stable, right? Not only bad timing, bad circumstance. Angels come in the sky, shepherds come to worship, but it's all in the middle of the night. There is a big hoopla that's made. We don't know much past that, right? The census happened, they registered, and then they headed home, okay? Now, Mary and Joseph were good Jewish people, so they followed the law. On the eighth day, the baby was circumcised. He was named Jesus, okay, as the angel Gabriel had told them to do. And then came the time for them to offer the sacrifice of purification. And because Jesus was a firstborn male, as every Jewish family would do, this male needed to be dedicated to the Lord at the temple. So pack up the donkey again, and they're off to Jerusalem. Okay? Let's start reading at verse 25. Okay? At that time I just described, we know what's happened. Okay? At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Okay, let's pause here just for a second, okay? A man in Jerusalem named Simeon. It's interesting that Luke does not give us any specifics of social status or anything about this man. He's not a priest, he's not a Pharisee, he's not a rabbi, he's not a rich man. He is just simply a man who lived in Jerusalem. And yet Luke describes him as a devout and righteous man. You see, Simeon believed in God. Simeon devoted his life to God. He was righteous. He did the right thing. He was devout. He did the right thing for the right reasons. He was committed to God. He was a man after God's own heart. And this righteous and devout man living in Jerusalem was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come. He's not just waiting. He's eagerly waiting, Luke says. Think of Christmas Eve night as a kid, right? Simeon is eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come. And he's eagerly waiting because he had been given a promise, right? He was given a promise by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. Okay? Simeon's name means one who hears. Okay? And Simeon had heard this promise spoken to him through the Holy Spirit, you will not die until you see my Messiah come. So he's waiting, and he knows it's coming. Probably he was getting older in years, right? His age isn't mentioned, but many scholars believe he was probably towards the end of his life. So he knows my time is coming soon, which means I will see this Messiah. God's promise will be fulfilled, and he's eagerly exciting. You see, expecting Jesus to arrive, the Messiah to come. You see, Simeon knew something was not right with the world. He knew that the world needed rescue. He knew that he needed rescuing. He knew Israel needed rescuing. He knew the world needed a Savior. And he got this message that a Savior was coming, a Messiah was coming, and that he would see this Messiah before he died. What a promise! No wonder Simeon was so eagerly waiting for this Messiah to come, because hope, the hope he'd been longing for, was coming. The rescue he'd been longing for was coming. The joy, the peace, the anticipation was about to be fulfilled. Let's continue reading, all right? That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So, when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there, and he took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. Amazing. That day came for Simeon. It happened. Okay? But that day, think about this. That day, the day that Jesus was also brought to the temple by Mary and Joseph, traveling again from Nazareth on that donkey, getting into Jerusalem. But on that day, Simeon was led by the Spirit to the temple. Is God's timing amazing or what? Coincidence? No. Pure chance? Happenstance? No. This is our God at work. On that day, Simeon is led by the Spirit to go to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph come to dedicate Jesus, Simeon was there. You know, when you're waiting for something, the waiting doesn't seem too perfect. But when that day comes, have you experienced that? When that day comes and you see how God's hand has been a part of it all along, all through the waiting. Consider this for Simeon. Going to the temple would not have been an odd occurrence or an odd calling for him, right? He was a righteous and devout Jew who lived in Jerusalem. He probably went to the temple often. This wasn't an odd thing to be led by the Spirit to go to the temple. And yet Simeon listens. Simeon is faithful. Simeon follows through in faithfulness and goes to the temple. And that day he goes, it was probably the beginning of any other day for Simeon. When he woke up, no real clue. Hey, what? I think I should go to the temple today. Yeah, I'll go to the temple today. All right. And that day is the day that God's promise is fulfilled to Simeon. That's the day that he'd been waiting for. You see, in our waiting, we have to remember, no matter what you're waiting for, you must remember that God is at work. Your waiting may seem passive, but that doesn't mean that God is passive. God is always at work. He is always orchestrating his will and bringing about the fulfillment of his promises and his plans in his timing. Yes, the waiting's hard. It can feel as if nothing's happening in the waiting. We can lose perspective. We can lose perseverance. We can lose hope in the waiting. We can lose heart. But in our waiting, we must never forget that God is always at work. Always. In our waiting, we're called to be faithful, to listen for God's voice, as Simeon did, to listen for that calling, and to just faithfully obey. Because when we choose to live a life by faith, the reality is that any day you get up could be that day for you, that day you've been waiting for and holding onto that promise of God for. On that day, Simeon sees Jesus. Now, the leading of the Holy Spirit must have continued. I don't know if you've thought about this. I thought a lot about it this week, obviously. But he would have no indication of what the Messiah looked like. Was he looking for a baby? I don't know. All he knew was the Messiah was coming, okay? He wouldn't have known who Mary and Joseph were, right? He probably wouldn't have heard about this supposed virgin birth, but maybe he did in those gossipy circles. Maybe rumor got around. But he wouldn't have known what Mary and Joseph looked like, right? It's not like they were Instagramming their life. So he's in the temple, which probably has a few people in it. But somehow it's not just God's timing. It's God's way of orchestrating life so that at the right time, at the right place, at the right moment, the right people come together and the miraculous happens and God's purposes are fulfilled. Simeon somehow gets this baby Jesus in his arms, right? New moms are usually pretty protective of their babies, let alone someone who says, I just gave birth to the Son of God. But somehow, Mary trusts, right? Simeon wasn't a priest. He wasn't anyone of importance that we know of in the temple that, oh, here you go, hold him, right? But somehow, God works it out, and Simeon gets to hold this baby. And as Simeon looks into this child's eyes, Simeon says, Sovereign Lord, let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. It's amazing. Simeon proclaims Jesus to be three things: salvation, light, and glory, not just for Israel, but for all people. Did you catch that? Remember in verse 25, right? I don't know if I'm reading into it too much, but this meant something to me, so I'll share it with you. In verse 25, it says that Simeon was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. But his proclamation upon seeing Jesus and seeing God's work come into fruition is, this is salvation for far more than just Israel. This is salvation for the world. And have you been there before when you finally, something clicks, that piece of God that you've been holding to clicks and that piece of God settles and your eyes are opened so new and you realize God's promises, his plans are so much bigger and grander and greater than I ever thought they would be. Imagine this for Simeon. He thought it was going to be amazing. He anticipated it. He was eagerly waiting and it came and it blew him away. I don't know if he was expecting a baby, but that's what he got. But he saw past this young baby, barely born, with no proven life track record, right? Days, weeks. But he says, this is God's purpose and plan, and it's far greater than I could ever hope or imagine. Praise be to God. I love verse 30 where Simeon says, I have seen your salvation. Remember what Simeon's name means? He who hears. For years in his life, he heard a promise. You will see the Messiah before you die. For years, he heard it. He heard it. But you know what? By faith, he held on to it. And he kept waiting, he kept anticipating, and his excitement grew, and his anticipation grew until that day came. And he says, I have seen your salvation. The one who heard is now the one who sees. And as Simeon holds that small baby, faith has become sight. And that's what Jesus does for each and every one of us. Jesus is our faith become sight. The work of God in the world. Okay, let's finish. We're at verse 33, okay? Jesus' parents were amazed at what had been said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. Mary and Joseph were amazed at the words that Simeon spoke. There had been so much amazing already happened, right? You'd think the amazement would just start getting to be old, right? Oh, another amazing thing. No. As God's plan unfolds in our lives, the amazement only grows. And Mary and Joseph are amazed at these words spoken by this man, this stranger, who took the baby out of her arms and spoke them to them. But then catch this. I find this amazing. Simeon blesses them. Could you imagine having the opportunity to say a blessing over Mary and Joseph and the Son of God? May God bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. That was a very common blessing of the day. Maybe it was the blessing Simeon said, maybe it wasn't, I don't know. But Simeon takes this opportunity to bless this young family, to bless this child. And then the one who had heard a message his whole life becomes the one who gives a message to Mary. Because Simeon knows that this is just the beginning. This is the fulfillment of a promise to him, but it's the beginning of something far greater, right? This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He's been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. Mary, ready yourself. You must be prepared because a sword is going to pierce your soul. See, life is not all roses and lollipops, is it? It's not roses and lollipops for any of us, but in the midst of a broken world, in the midst of our pain, hope is still found. Peace is still found. Joy is still found. Fulfillment is still found. Rescue is still found. And it's found in Jesus. Simeon's words to Mary remind each and every one of us of an important time, especially for Christmas, right? You can't just look at the birth of Jesus and the manger without also looking at the sacrifice of Jesus and the cross of Calvary. You cannot look at the birth of Jesus and the manger in Bethlehem without also looking at the sacrifice of Jesus and the cross at Calvary. Mary, you better ready yourself. A sword will pierce your very soul. But even when the pain and the heartache is at its greatest and at its deepest, don't lose heart. Stay faithful because your little one here, he is the salvation of God, prepared for all people. Your little baby boy, he's a light that is going to pierce the darkness of this world. Your little baby boy is the glory of Israel and the fullness of God in human flesh. So a sword will pierce your soul. It's not all roses and lollipops, but take heart because he's overcome the world and you can hold on to the promises of God. You see, Simeon was just a man who lived in Jerusalem, a man who loved God, loved others, and wanted to see the world changed. His name means one who hears, and he heard a promise of God, and he held on to a promise of God that before he died, he would see with his eyes the Messiah. This was Simeon's peace of God. This is what Simeon held on to, this promise. Now, we don't know much about Simeon beyond this, right? We certainly know he didn't get to see the fullness of Jesus' life, right? He didn't see his full life in ministry. He didn't get a chance to see Jesus walk on water. He didn't get to see Jesus feed thousands with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He didn't get to see Jesus heal the blind, the lame, the lepers. He didn't see the agony of the cross. He didn't see the glory of the resurrection. He didn't see the message, the gospel message of Jesus Christ, start a movement, the church, with just a few faithful followers that spread throughout the globe and has offered hope and joy to our all people everywhere for the past thousands of years. Simeon never got to see the fullness of God's plan. He had a peace of God. But that peace held onto in faith was enough to bring the peace of God into his life like nothing else could. There was so much he didn't see, but you know what? He didn't need to. This baby, this peace that he did have, was more than enough. This peace of God was a baby miraculously born into a poor family from a small town that nobody ever thought twice about. Simeon wasn't given full access into everything that God was doing, the complete unfolding of God's plan. He was given just a piece, but this piece was enough. And now he could die in peace because Jesus is here. He's here. Salvation of God given to the world. Is there a better time to think about these things than Christmas? I want to close real quickly with 3 things that Simeon's life teach us that can help us experience more of the peace of God. The first is this. The peace of God comes when we hold on to the promises of God, okay? A lot of people, a lot of things in this world are going to promise you a lot of things. And you're going to attach a lot of hope to those things that people promise you and things promise you. But probably in the end, the majority of those things, the hope that they bring, will actually be a little bit more on the lines of wishful thinking than the hope you're looking for. This is not the case with God and his promises. God is true to his promises, and while we have to wait for God's promises, and while God's promises don't always come in the fashion and in the timing that we expect, we know that God's promises never fail, and that is why God's promises will never disappoint you. That's why we can hold on to the promises of God. If we want to experience more peace in our lives, we must hold on to the promises of God. A man came into the church this week, and I got an opportunity to hear a little bit of his life story. He had a life, great job, great security. He lost all of it because of an addiction. And as we talked about his story, he very bravely shared with me the fact that over the past decade or more, he's been fighting and struggling to get his life back. He's had a lot of success in those years, but he's also had a lot of failure. And he said to me, you know, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. But I just feel lost right now. I feel like my chances with God have run out, that I've just made too many mistakes to receive God's love and God's blessing. And as I was listening to him, all I could think about was the promise of God. I will never leave you or forsake you, right? I thought of Romans 8. There is nothing that can ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I bumbled, folks, and I stumbled, and I stammered, and I stuttered through trying to share these words with him and his heart, because he desperately wanted and needed the peace of God in his life, but he just felt lost. And if there's just some way he could grab a piece of God, a promise of God, I will never leave you or forsake you, my child. If he could just hear that and hold on to that, that would start him on a road to peace with God. If we want to experience the more peace of God in our lives, we must hold on to the promises of God. Secondly, the peace of God comes when we choose to live faithfully every day. As I said, we don't know much about Simeon, right? We get a snapshot into his life. He probably wasn't perfect. We know he wasn't perfect, right? But he was righteous and devout. He committed himself by faith to God and his promises. And that day was like any other day. He would have been called to the temple many times in his heart and in his head. I should go to the temple today. I should go to the temple. But that day was the day, and he was faithful on that day. Do you know how easy it is sometimes to maybe hear a prompting or hear something, but you've been waiting so long, you've been hoping so long, and nothing's come to be that you're like, well, probably if I skip this day, it's not really going to matter. What if Simeon never went to the temple that day? And yet he faithfully went to the temple, and that day was the day he was waiting for. You remember Daniel from the Old Testament? Daniel spent one day in a den full of lions, and God saved them, right? That's miraculous. That's amazing. But each and every day, Daniel got up, prayed 3 times a day, and faithfully walked with God. You know, sometimes I think that in our spiritual lives, we anticipate and want the miraculous and the big and the amazing each and every day. And there are glimpses of that every day. I'm not going to say that there's not. But if you want more peace of God on a day-to-day living, like Simeon, like Daniel, like so many others of faith, you just have to get up each day, hold on to the promises of God, live by faith, follow his leading, by obedience, and you will experience the peace of God. Christmas comes once a year. Thank goodness, right? We'd all be in financial trouble if it came more than once. But you know the spirit of Christmas, that love, joy, and the peace that so many people say they feel at Christmas time, there's no reason why that shouldn't last all year long. Because when Christ is with us and he'll never leave us or forsake us and there's nothing that could ever happen that could separate us from his love, we've got that. Every day. God is faithful to us every day. We are called to simply be faithful to him every day. Okay, lastly, I know I need to wrap up here. The peace of God comes when in the midst of everything else, we see Jesus. You know, Simeon was looking for the Messiah. I don't know if he knew exactly what he was looking for, but he found it. A small baby, incapable of speech, no proven track record, no way of saying, over here, right? Nothing. But some goos and some gahs, maybe, right? And yet Simeon saw past this baby. He saw past the busyness of the temple. He saw past everything because God had revealed to him, this is the Messiah. This is the salvation of the world. Emmanuel, God with us. So what if over Christmas, not just us as believers, but let's think about the whole world. As we celebrate, what if we could? What if people could? What if our neighbors could? What if our coworkers could? What if all of our families could see past the lights and the presents and the food and the get-togethers? As good as they are, those are great things. But what if we could see past all of them and see with fresh eyes this Christmas? A baby. But not just a baby. The Messiah. The salvation of the world, light to the world, the glory of God. So let me go back. What are you waiting for in your life? More importantly, what are you hoping it will bring when it arrives? Our whole series, we've been talking about the peace of God. And as I said, the tagline has been, peace for tomorrow begins by embracing a peace of God today. What could be better for your life? What could be better for the world? What could bring more hope more joy, more contentment, more fulfillment, more peace than to see Jesus and to hold on to him and to trust him. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you this morning that you never fail. In your love for us, you never fail. In your promises to us, you never fail. We thank you that your timing is perfect, and we're all waiting for something. There's lots we're waiting for. But I pray this Christmas you would draw our hearts to continue to wait, like Simeon did, for those things that matter the most, for that one thing that matters the most. May we look to you for our hope. May we look to you for our peace. May we look to you for our salvation and our joy, because there's nothing else that will come through on the promises that are made to our hearts. Nothing else will come through like you will. May you bless us and keep us this Christmas. May you cause your face to shine upon us. May you be gracious to us. May you turn towards us and grant us this Christmas time your peace. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.